I'll go ahead and get into the interview then. Thank you for doing a photo shoot with us prior to your tour in Europe. People often imagine the life of a celebrity musician to be rather leisure and luxurious, built around a few concerts. How physically demanding is your vocation? And please describe how it is spiritually demanding in ways that people may not realize.
Well, it's, I think the road life is just difficult, just period. I mean, a lot of people think getting on a bus and traveling around the world is a beautiful thing, and it is. It's great. It's fabulous. I mean, it's sort of what I was made to do, and I feel like I'm hitting in my sweet spot. But, you know, you just have to take care of yourself. And for me, I'm just not out there just sitting around just kind of playing the piano. I pour my heart and soul into it. So it really takes a lot out of you emotionally, because I don't know how to do it any other way than to just kind of sort of give it my 110%, you know. So, you know, I eat right, I take care of myself, and I work out. I'm pretty fit for 57. I feel actually really great. And then spiritually, just staying on, gosh, I mean, that's probably the most important thing. It's just going out there on stage and trying to sing these songs like the very first time you sang them, you know. Keep it fresh, and who's your team of people around you? That's very, very important. It's who's on stage with me, and what's our motivation? What's our posture? All those things are very, very important in the evening.
Do you think there's any spiritual challenges that people may not typically think are challenges for you?
Well, I think for anybody who's a celebrity and anybody who's writing about you, you got 2,000-3,000 people, sometimes 10,000-20,000 people that are sort of looking at you and adoring you a little bit, can easily go to your head, you know? I think that's probably the biggest thing, to keep to know all that in perspective. I'm better at it today than I ever have been. You know, I'd kick myself when I was younger. I was all worried about being number one or getting that Grammy Award or how many records are we selling. You know, I've gotten really good at really kind of wising up a bit over the years, and that stuff is not so much of a temptation. Now it's just staying focused and just being really trying to be normal and really try to portray yourself. Obviously, you got to be honest on stage, but just make these people feel like you're one of them, you know, and then you're not some rock star, you know, and they're some sort of secondhand citizen or something. You know, I think you get a lot of celebrities today that they have this whole, what's it called, to think they deserve everything. They, you know, the red carpet needs to be rolled out for them because of their some singer or actor. I just think that's insane.
Yeah.
So, but just keeping all that in perspective.
All right. Yeah. Good. So we've been following you for a while, since the early 80s, to be more specific, and you've stayed in good shape. That's often a family legacy that's inherited and passed forward. Give us a brief tour of your physical fitness from your childhood days through your career and now as you have children and grandchildren. How has fitness and being active been an important part of your life?
Well, I think it's been a real important part of my life. I think it's probably the reason why I'm fairly healthy and pretty active now after all these years. I grew up playing piano at age 5. I was a musician, but I was also a jock. You know, I was playing every sport. My dad was a great baseball player. He was my coach. I wanted to play professional baseball, and I made the All-Stars every year. You know, I just was an athlete. Loved throwing the ball. Anything with the ball, anything with winning and losing. You know, I'm very, very competitive. And, didn't make the All-Stars when I was 15 because the whole piano thing and music really seemed to captivate my heart, and knew that that was going to be the part of my destiny somehow, you know. So I dove right into music, but I never stopped playing ball, you know. I never stopped playing tennis. You know, I had a softball team for years, you know. And I've been active my whole life in some sort of sporting activity or whatever. And as I've gotten a little older, I've met a great friend at Titans Camp, Steve Watterson, who's probably one of the, I consider him one of the best strength and conditioning coaches in the world, honestly, especially in America. And he started training me 15 years ago, and it's been a good run. He's been now being one of my best friends. You know, so I still love doing stuff with the ball. Now I'm at, just like yesterday or the other day on Mother's Day, you know, while all the adults are inside, I'm out with some little Nerf football playing football with the grandkids, you know. So I kind of had a feeling I'm going to be like that the rest of my life.
Cool. By the way, just aside, I would love to get a photo, if it's possible, of you playing Nerf ball with your grandkids or of any pictures of you when you were playing sports as a youth. But we'll talk.
Oh yeah, I can find those for sure.
That'd be nice. You train with Tennessee Titans strength and conditioning coach Steve Watterson. You were just talking about that. What's it like to be guided by that kind of leadership, both physically and spiritually? Everyone can easily recognize the importance of a pastor for spiritual growth, but share what Christian qualities you've found in Steve and how you feel that makes a distinct difference in your training and in the day-to-day practice of your faith.
Well, I've watched, I don't think Steve would mind me saying this. I remember when he asked me when I first met him, he was a tough guy, you know. I met him through Jeff Fisher, and he was like, give me 10 weeks in the gym. Give me 10 weeks. I didn't know what he was talking about, you know. But he just put the pressure on me. I said, you mean work out with me? You want to train me? He said, give me 10 weeks, you know. And so whatever. So long story. But, you know, I found out all along the way that I was over at Titans Camp more than just for my training physically, that I felt like I was a mentor to Steve a little bit, you know, and to be here and to encourage him and help him in his faith. And so that whole, this us talking when we train, we often talk about the Lord. You know, we talk about our kids, we talk about our wives, we share our victories, we share our weaknesses, and we pray for each other and all that sort of thing, you know. So that's the real key for what we do. But on the physical side, I've never felt stronger. I've never felt better. And it's pretty unbelievable to be trained by someone of that caliber. He's very, very smart. He's very knowledgeable about nutrition as well. So that's a big, big part of it as well. So yeah, so it's fun to live together. I don't get off the hook. It's a little tough, but I enjoy it. But I really enjoy doing it with him.
You said he asked you, or he was put the pressure on you at the beginning, give me 10, and what was that last word you said?
Yeah, just give me 10 weeks. You know.
Weeks, as in?
Yeah, I mean, okay. Yeah, give me 10, I think about it, said 12 weeks. Give me 12 weeks, and I mean, I would go on the football field before the game, hanging out, and Jeff Fisher introduced me to Steve, and I never even know the guy's going to give me 12 weeks, you know, so odd to me. And so about the third time on the field, a month later, whatever, and he says, well, give me 12 weeks. And that's what I said. I said, you want me to come to Titans camp? He said, yes. So, and that just kind of began a friendship. And then, you know, I lost 10 pounds, and I've been the same weight ever since. You know, I was about 180 for a while, and then I'm 170, if that, probably 170. I've been at that weight for the last 14 and a half years. Crazy, you know. So, and just kind of wild how we met and how we ended up training together and how we ended up being best friends.
Nice. And I just want to follow up with you, because you had mentioned here just a second ago that you guys have a lot of close conversations as you're training. You talk about the ups and downs, challenges, all of that. How is that maybe a little, within the context of while you're exercising, a little different than how it might be when you're conversing with a friend or someone at church? And I guess what I'm getting to give you an idea is we suggest to our readers that within an exercising type of environment, you let some of your guard down. You're maybe a little more genuine, and maybe that actually can open you up spiritually a bit more. But I'm curious how you sort of interpret it.
You know, I mean, I think that's true. I mean, I just think Steve and I have a rapport together. You know, once we get going and he's correcting me on a few of my moves with a kettlebell or whatever, you know, once we sort of kind of get in that routine, then in the middle of huffing and sweating, you know, we find some time to just talk about life and talk about what God's done in our lives. And we do a lot of that after we work out, too. We'll just go back in his office and just chat. And, you know, I'll share a book with him. So we've got to check out this book. It's amazing. Ragamuffin Gospel by Brennan Manning. You know, I returned that on that book on to Steve. It's life changing for him. You know, just little stuff like that. You never know what's going to happen from one day to another in regards to our conversations and what we end up talking about. But we always end up talking about the Lord at some point.
Excellent. Okay. Looks like you use TRX cables and kettlebells quite a bit. Describe your workouts very briefly.
Well, we do a lot of kettlebells. It's my favorite thing to do. Yeah, a lot of bands with your own weight. We do a lot of ropes as well, cardio with the big ropes. I mean, we change it a lot. I mean, I never know what he wants to do. You don't want to just get the same old routine of doing the same thing every day. I mean, I think sort of the normal thing, you do arms one day and do legs. But this whole thing is like, it's kind of like CrossFit. But, yeah, but it's Steve's thing. I mean, Steve is sort of, you know, through his knowledge and his expertise, is putting me through some of the same things that he puts the Titans through, the players through. Called strength and conditioning, and I think that's probably, again, like I said earlier, it's probably why I feel the way that I feel physically, because I'm being trained by one of the best in the world, you know, so he's figuring it out, you know, the best way to train your body. So yeah, I'm still sort of can't even believe I get to do that with him.
Well, cool. Talk about nutrition, Michael, for a moment. What do you do to eat healthy? How challenging is it for you to maintain a good diet, and in what ways do you see the continual consumption of readily available junk food as affecting people these days?
Yeah, junk food's bad. I ate my share of it growing up. You know, having peaches on the bus after a show, those days are over. You know what? I think everything you do, everything in moderation to some degree. I don't think there's anything wrong with pizza, but you can't eat pizza every day. You know, I'll probably eat pizza maybe not that much, but maybe once every 2 weeks I'll splurge and have a piece of pizza, but I never order it, and I'm big into greens. You know, I eat salad every day. I eat a lot of fish. I hardly ever have anything fried at all. That's sort of a no-no for me. I think water, a lot of water intake is really, really important. You know, I had a bad habit for a long time. I was somewhat addicted to Diet Coke. NutraSweet, we all know, is not good for you, and I pretty much kicked that habit, but it was a challenge. And I'm not a big dessert guy, so that's not been a real issue for me. So, yeah, kale salads, chicken salads, you know, salmon. I'm a big salmon fan. But water intake is important. I'm a big breakfast guy. I've always had to eat breakfast. I think it's really important to eat when you get up. And I eat pretty healthy on the breakfast thing, you know, some sort of whole grain thing. Or I eat a lot of eggs as well. Try to eat very little bread, if possible. You know, a lot of people are allergic to all kinds of stuff when it comes to bread, gluten, and all that sort of thing. I don't think I'm allergic to gluten, but I find myself feeling a lot better when I don't eat bread, honestly.
We know that a lot of, you know, America these days is really getting obese just by all the bad foods that they're eating. I'm curious if you can sort of relate that whole diet thing to music, media, personalities, cultural attitudes. How are you seeing those influences shape our nation? And what can be done to confront that social obesity or spiritual malnutrition?
Well, it's a real issue. I mean, bad is getting worse, but thankfully the good is getting better. I mean, you know, there's a lot of great things happening in the world. But I think you just got to, when I'm talking to anybody, but specifically young people, this next generation, I just go, you know what, just try to reconnect with why you're here. You know, why are you here? I don't think you're here by mistake. I mean, I think there's a purpose for your life. I think that he came to give you a future and a hope. And just put God in the equation somehow. I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day, a really good friend, all sitting around the table with some people who are not real God followers on many levels, but just talking about careers and we're trying to do that. And then, you know, she just sort of said, "Have you ever thought it's about putting God in the equation?" And I just think we gotta. Unfortunately, we have a new generation of kids who, what do they call them? They call them nons now. You know, they don't believe in anything. They don't believe there's a God. And so, at the end of the day, Brad, it's warfare. Just think that the devil wants to come and kill, steal, and destroy, and wants to deceive people and. And he's wreaking havoc on a whole new generation. And I think the only way for us as believers to combat that, we just got to pray. We just got to pray. I mean, and I point that finger right at myself. I don't do that enough, you know. But that's what's gonna turn a nation around is the prayers of the saints, prayers of the church that really genuinely rise up and do some warfare. And that's how it's gonna get done.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. That's good. That's always a critical thing for people to hear. Many of our readers are discovering just how much physical activity can strengthen their family spiritually. Describe how fitness has been woven into the relationship that you and your wife have, and share how God has strengthened all of you as a family through physical work, vigorous exercise, and play.
Well, bottom line, it's good for you, and I think it's been, I mean, obviously, I think it's going to help us to live longer. My wife's in pretty good shape as well, you know, so she's kind of sort of taking the lead. Well, she was always working out even before I met her, so she's been an athlete too, but to be able to work out together, we're kind of getting to do a lot of that, which is great. We walk a lot together. We love to hike. We're big hikers. We got a place in Colorado. We love to hike the mountains. And that's all good. That's almost like working out with Steve a little bit. You're walking with your wife, and you're walking and talking lots, you know. You're getting physical activity, but you're also sitting there praying as you're walking. And we do a lot of that together. So I'd say that's been a huge strength for our family. And then, you know, our kids, you know, some of them are more, you know, our kids are sort of actors and musicians and writers and all that sort of thing, you know. They didn't really grow up doing a whole lot of sports. And now you're watching them start to develop all these habits of starting to work out and start taking care of themselves. Not that they really didn't take care of themselves, but and I think they've sort of taken the lead from Deb and I, my wife and I. So my oldest son, Ryan, who's really never really worked out much, and he's skinny. You know, he's not overweight. None of my kids are really overweight. And all of a sudden he's showing up at our house every morning getting on the treadmill, you know. So I didn't really push him to do that. So I think everybody's following suit. They know this is the right thing to do. You just got to take care of yourself. And everybody's diets have totally changed. I mean, everybody's on this health kick, which is wonderful. We're not extremely legalistic about it. You know, again, I go back to the moderation thing, but to watch our kids eat right, really take care of themselves. You know, now they're all moms and dads and raising kids. I mean, it's just, it's a pretty sweet thing to watch it kind of go down. It's really awesome.
And I apologize just by the numbers. You have how many children and how many grandchildren?
Yeah, I have 5 children, 2 boys and 3 girls, and then we have 11 grandkids.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It's pretty wild. It's a good chapter for us.
Our human tendency can be to segregate God and our faith from our daily activities and experiences. In what ways do you feel our physical journey through life helps us to more fully discover a sovereign God?
Just the physical activity?
Well, not just the physical exercises, but everything about our physical experience. In other words, I think a lot of times we go to church and we try to say, okay, this is our spiritual time now, our time to pray, worship, all that stuff, and then we go back about our physical activities. And I'm just curious how you feel maybe those daily everything going on in life helps shape our relationship with God and help us to better understand His sovereignty.
Yeah, I'm a big worship guy 24/7 is what I am. And you know, I think a lot of people, when they say worship, you know, they think about music or they think about this song. I just think worship's 24/7. So I think about it on and off all day long. I mean, I just took a walk this morning. I just got an old historical house here in Franklin where my studio is. And there's this amazing park. It's kind of right next to my deal. And so I've got my, I'm going to go get my blood pumping. I'm going to do a fast walk. And I've got my headphones in and I split it up. I listen to, believe it or not, I listen to my Cracker Barrel record, which I haven't done in a long, long time, of all these amazing hymns I grew up singing. And I thought, I'm just going to concentrate on what these hymns, what these words are again. And it just blessed me to no end. And then I flipped it and I went to the New Testament and I go to the UK NIV version and listen to some British guy read the whole book of Ephesians. And that was the latter part of my walk. It's just listening to the whole book of Ephesians while I walked. You know, so I'm out there listening to scripture. I'm out there listening to songs. I'm watching the clouds sweep through the sky. I'm a big stargazer. I'm a big, you know, look at the moon and going, God, you're so cool.
Yeah.
So I just sort of kind of experience, I experience God in multiple times on, you know, every day. On some level, we're looking at a tree, you're looking at a flower bloom, or looking at people running into somebody. You know, just I've had those God experiences multiple times a day.
Cool. By the way, are we ever going to get a Michael W. Smith electronic dance music album?
Oh, I don't know about that. I bet we could probably, I've often actually thought about the Mamie did it. She did it about a year and a half ago. Somebody took all her hit songs and sort of made a club mix of all the songs. And I think we've already actually talked about doing that, because I'd love to have some of my music, you know, for whatever, CrossFit or, you know, some of these big, what do you call them, these big training things they got. Sure. Where they go, well, I forgot what they're,
yeah,
what they're called. Yeah, where they got four on the floor all the time, and they're, you know, they're not, you know, they're running and they're moving for an hour, you know. So something camp, whatever that camp's called, you know. So,
all right. Well, whenever you move forward with that, be sure to keep us posted on it. We'd like to.
I'll keep you posted. We'll definitely get you. I'll get you a copy.
Hey, Michael, what do you think is key for a Christian to transition from simply believing in God to becoming fully confident, serving Him without reservation?
I think it's coming to the full realization of what grace really is. And you transition out of performance mode into knowing that there's not a thing that you can do to earn it. He just loves you. He just simply loves you. And He calls you His own. Like a son, like a daughter. And you really fully know that. That to me has been the biggest game changer of my life. And people that I know who are really, really strong in their faith, that has been the biggest game changer. That has totally transitioned them into powerful, powerful people of faith. But just knowing that you're loved.
Yeah.
And so when you just love, there's this God, and you think about all your junk, and you think about, oh, man, I'm a mess. And He just loves me in spite of my messiness. He just loves me. And that's the key. Because I think once you get that peace, you can do anything.
Anything you think keeps people from then proclaiming that?
Well, I find a lot of people who struggle with that are people who've been abused in some way, emotionally, physically, sexually. I mean, a missing father, a missing mother. You know, we have somewhat of half of the population, whatever it is, in a fatherless generation, you know. For example, when I get up and talk about the Father Heart of God, I mean, I had a great example. My dad was amazing, still is. He's got dementia. That's a whole other chapter for us. It's hard, but we're getting through it. God's still good. And my dad played ball with me every single day. My coach, he's my biggest fan. Thinks I'm supposed to win every award I'm ever nominated for. He just thinks I hung the moon, you know. So my dad has given me a little bit of the picture of the heart of God. But you have some people who didn't have a good father, and they're still bitter. So they, you know. But I always tell people, you know, if you didn't have a good father, I believe God can father you. You know, my mom was left on the doorstep when she was 8 years old. My mom was 8. My Aunt Dee and Aunt Pat were 6 and 5. My Uncle Bill was 4. And my real grandmother walked out of the house one day, that day, and never came back. She never came back. And my mom could have been bitter for the rest of her life. And my mom just chose to let God mother her. My mom's a bomb. I mean, my mom is unbelievable, you know. So I just think there's a way, you know, just that things just, that it's almost like a revelation that switch has got to go on, and you just all of a sudden you realize, oh my gosh, this thing really is true. He really does love me.
Great. One last question. The Pew Research Center recently completed a study titled America's Changing Religious Landscape. It shows the share of Christians in the population declined some, but the unaffiliated grew significantly. Where do you feel are areas of life where Christians can have a stronger presence, and what might they do differently or better?
Well, I've heard that report as well. Matter of fact, my wife and I were talking about that today at lunch. Man, I just think we just got to get real, and we got to reflect the heart of God to people, and not just on Sundays in the workplace, you know? And you don't have to be, I mean, I think everybody who's a believer is in some sort of ministry. You might work at the newspaper, you might work at Barnes & Noble, but man, I say stop the gossip. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all. And just reflect the heart of God. Just reflect the heart of God wherever you go. And so we just got to start doing that. And I think when we become transparent like that and just take the attention off ourselves and just reflect who He is, you can't help but be drawn to that. You just kind of, you want to go out to people like that. You want, man, what is it about you? You're different. It's like the VH, I'll never forget this girl at VH1. I getting all kinds of flack because one of my songs was on pop radio. It was flack from probably 1 or 2% of people who thought I sold out my faith and went to pop radio. Long story, whatever. I never argued with those people because there was never anything to talk about because I thought it was just insanity, their judgment of me, whatever. But I remember going into VH1 to host a top 20 countdown, the video countdown. That's 20 years ago. And I'm just walking in there going, God, just let me reflect who you are. Let me reflect who you are. And this girl's doing my makeup at VH1. She's doing my makeup. We're just kind of chatting. And then she just sort of stopped right in the middle. She just looked me in the eye. And she said, there's something different about you. I went, really? She said, yeah, I want to know what it is. I said, it's Jesus. He changed my life. I mean, I kept it pretty simple. He changed my life. And she just, these big tears began to roll down her cheeks. I will never forget that for the rest of my life. I don't know what ever happened to her. I know there was a big seed planted in her life, and I trust that she had a real encounter with the Lord, you know. So we just got to be, we just got to live in the present, and we got to take the attention off ourselves, and we got to start. We got one shot at this. I don't think there's a plan B. I think we're it. Us, the church, we're it to reflect the heart of God to a very, very troubling world that we live in.
Well, thanks for sharing all of that. I appreciate your time today. Any thing that you wanted to share that I didn't ask you about?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, just real quick, Steve's the one who turned me on to Avicare. I'm sure you've probably heard of Avicare.
Yeah.
You know, and that stuff, this product has been really good. I've enjoyed taking it, and Steve actually invented some of the stuff when he was on the board at Avicare. But, you know, just use some of this muscle strength stuff and the catalyst. But the big thing is I feel like I've been faithful, and I've stuck it out, and this thing really has worked for me, especially having a trainer like that. But again, you go back to really what's important, it's really the spiritual side. I feel like we're here for so little time on this earth, and eternity will go on forever. And yeah, so I'm just asking the Lord that everywhere I go, I'm strategically where He wants me to be, and Lord, use me for the people who need me today, and lead me to the people that maybe I need something from today. And I'm a blessed man. That's all I can tell you. I'm very, very grateful. And all this journey, this whole crazy journey I've been on, and after 33 years of doing it and being successful, I never could have orchestrated it. It is a complete God thing. I'm a very grateful man. And I really appreciate y'all putting me in the magazine. Thanks for, it's a good thing. I had a great time with the photo shoot, and thanks for including me. I appreciate it.